From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Sunnyvale, down by Great America.
Sunset District.
In between Cupertino and Saratoga.
San Jose.
Oakland.
Antioch.
Half Moon Bay.
Yeah, same here, Half Moon Bay.
Coming up, we get to San Francisco the old-fashioned way, by ferry boat.
It's the only commute that you wish it were longer.
We'll discover the surprising history of San Francisco's official song, or songs.
I suggested that maybe we ought to split the baby here, and maybe the approach was two songs.
We'll also look at love through the eyes of teenagers.
I can't tell you about something that I've never felt. I can give you what I want it to be if I ever do feel it. And I want it to be like, oh, when he comes around, I just get weak in the knees.
We're crossing the bay on Valentine's Day, today on Cross Currents. Stay tuned. Starting this Friday night, getting into San Francisco from the East Bay might be a little more difficult than usual. The upper deck of the Bay Bridge is scheduled to be completely closed to traffic until 5 o'clock Tuesday morning, so Caltrans can do work on the new span. To help compensate, BART is adding extra trains and all-night service. But if traveling in the Transbay Tube isn't for you, there's another option. Before there ever was a Golden Gate Bridge or a Bay Bridge, people who wanted to cross the bay did it by boat. In 1928, for example, ferries carried over 46 million passengers from one shore to the other.
The Bay Area used to be built around ferries.
Tony Bruzzini is a transportation planner who specializes in public transit for AirUp, a design firm with offices in San Francisco.
But it was set up as an integrated system with trains. Piedmont and Broadway up in Oakland, and even Berkeley all had trains that came in and folded in at where the Bay Bridge is now onto big ferry boats, and then everybody would come across on a ferry. I mean, the reason that the bridge was built in the 30s is people got tired of that, and they wanted direct access.
Now, traveling by boat is a transportation option used by few. But with the Bay Bridge shutting down for the weekend, we're about to see how one of the Bay Area's most old-fashioned forms of transportation can handle a modern commuter crunch. KALW's Julie Kane got on board to find out.
The Alameda Oakland Ferry Service. Please pay close attention to.
It's a calm Tuesday afternoon on the docks of San Francisco's ferry building. A group of second graders giggle and jostle each other, excited to get on board the ferry to Alameda. Crew members greet passengers and sell tickets. On the back of the boat, a couple of tourists take pictures of seagulls and the skyline. Regular commuters stop at the snack bar before settling in for the 20-minute ride. Jack Dibas lives in Alameda and works in San Francisco. He's been commuting on the ferry for 15 years.
It's quite a bit more civilized than any other mode of transportation, I think. You're not packed in like sardines. You could actually open your laptop and work. You can talk to people, you can hear people, and there's a full bar.
That's right, a full bar. For regular riders like Dibas, getting to and from work on the ferry can be a very social scene. People know each other, they have certain places they like to sit, and they're friendly with the captain and crew.
People take ownership of the ferries in a way that I don't think they do on other public transit. It's a very much of a community thing.
That's Ernest Sanchez. He oversees ferry service between San Francisco and the East Bay for WETA.
Water Emergency Transportation Authority.
Most mornings, the scene on the bay is far from an emergency. So most of the time, Sanchez can focus on other things, like planning new ferry routes. A new one between the East Bay and South San Francisco is due to open later this year. But WETA's biggest job is to make sure boats are available in case a terrorist attack or major earthquake takes out BART and the bridges.
It could take several weeks, months, who knows, before we could be back into a situation where business is operating as normal. And during that time, we'd need to move supplies, we need to move people, we need to move equipment and other things necessary to bring us back into a state of operation.
It was just such an emergency that really jump-started the region's ferry service. Ridership dropped significantly after the Bay Bridge opened in 1936, and ferries pretty much died out until 1970, when the Golden Gate Ferry started service from Marin. When the Vallejo Ferry opened in 1986, its main job was to take people to Marine World, which had just relocated from Southern California.
So the Oakland A's take.
I'll tell you what, we're having an earthquake.
But then, in 1989, damage from the Loma Prieta earthquake closed down the Bay Bridge for almost a month. During that time, ferries were one of the most direct ways to get into San Francisco. Again, transportation planner Tony Brizzoni.
That actually got things started, got the Alameda service started, the Oakland service. It pumped up the Vallejo service.
And 1.5 million people now ride those ferries every year. It's not much compared to the 350,000 people who ride BART every day. Still, ferries are one of the region's more financially stable transit services. Ticket sales pay for about half of what the ferries cost to operate. Only BART and Caltrain have a better record.
All ashore gateway, next stop will be open.
Even so, the ferries' busiest days are the ones when BART or the bridges are closed. And with the region's population expected to increase by about 2 million people in the next 20 years, planners are starting to think about the ferry's role in getting those people around. Transportation planner Tony Brizzoni says that raises some longer-term questions.
What are the trade-offs of building eventually a new BART tube or providing service, more service on buses or more service on ferries? But if you're going to provide the service on ferries, you need to make sure that people actually take it and they can get to it.
Brizzoni says it all comes down to land use and development.
So you have to look at a ferry terminal the same way you look at a train station. It has to have, it's best to have a lot of people living around it so that they don't have to drive to it and that it's an easy walk to them. And then, but on top of that, like a train station, it needs to have really good connecting bus service into it.
In San Francisco, that's easy. It's a short walk from Muni and BART to ferry terminals. But the situation in the East Bay is complicated. Again, WETA's Ernest Sanchez.
Especially recent economic problems have seriously affected public transit. At one point, we had a good bus service to our terminals, and that is, you know, has changed.
Getting more people to ferries is a long-term challenge, but once they're there, the ferries do have one big advantage over other modes of transit. They're fun to ride. Sanchez says that enjoyment is so big a factor that when older boats were replaced with faster vessels, passengers started to complain.
Because the commute time now was like 19 minutes from Alameda rather than 27 or 28. And from Oakland, it was only 20-something minutes. And so people were concerned that they didn't have enough time to talk with their friends and hang out, or for that matter to have the additional cocktail because we do serve liquor on board. So it's kind of interesting. In the old days, when you read about the ferries, back in the heyday of ferries, I mean, that was taking an hour plus to go, and so they had card games and weddings and feasts and all sorts of things.
Regular commuter Noelle Lawrence says she understands the appeal.
Somebody said to me once, it's the only commute that you wish it were longer. I'm really excited about the fact that they're running late ferry service while the Bay Bridge is closed, and I'm going to ask my friend if he'd like to, you know, get all dressed up and go into town and have a, you know, evening in town. It'd be so nice. It'd be romantic.
Docking at the Port of Oakland, this is Julie Kane for Cross Currents.
How do you cope with your commute? We want to know. Give us a call at 415-264-7106. Again, that's 415-264-7106. We just might air your thoughts in an upcoming show.
Come aboard. We're expecting you.
Ah, the sounds of the 70s. In today's show, as a little tribute to Valentine's Day, we'll be bringing you some love songs in the transitions between our stories. Recognize this one? Don't Get Seasick Now. All right, that's enough of that.
Won't hurt anymore.
No, really. You're listening to a Valentine's Day edition of Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney. The landscape of the Bay Area has inspired newcomers to build on the water's edge, and it's also inspired artists and musicians to capture it in image and song. It's not hard to see why. That blue and windy sea and moody morning fog that fills the air make for a pretty romantic setting. That makes for some pretty great songs, too, particularly about San Francisco.
If you're going to San Francisco,
my baby's from San Francisco,
open up that Golden Gate, California.
Sitting on the dock of the bay,
a foggy night in San Francisco,
the Golden Gate. From the top of the mark,
I'm always drunk in San Francisco.
There are so many musical tributes to this place, in fact, that it is perhaps the only city in the country, maybe the world, with not one but two official songs. Musicality didn't have much to do with this decision, as Jim Lazarus explains to KALW's Stephen Short in this archive segment of Witness to History.
It's fairly common for official entities such as countries, states, and cities to designate items that they officially want to recognize. You know, things like flags, birds, animals, plants, and music. Nations have their anthems. States have their songs.
I love you, California. You're the greatest state of all.
Yes, I love you, California. Is our official state song. And sometimes cities have their own songs too, which is the case with San Francisco.
San Francisco, open your Golden Gate.
Unofficially, prior to Tony Bennett and I Left My Heart in San Francisco, it was the theme song San Francisco, Jeanette MacDonald, from the movie of the same name from the 1930s with Clark Gable about the earthquake in 1906.
That's Jim Lazarus. He's currently the senior vice president for the Chamber of Commerce, but in the 1980s he was deputy mayor under Dianne Feinstein. As deputy mayor, Lazarus kept track of
The controversies of the day, homeporting the USS Missouri at Hunter's Point, building a new baseball stadium, that kind of thing. So I got those issues as well as what the official song might be.
Something else occupying his time then was planning for the 1984 Democratic National Convention to be held in San Francisco. Mayor Feinstein wanted everything running like clockwork, including those little cable cars, which were being refurbished in time for the big convention. According to news accounts of the day, the mayor wanted to ride the first cable car with Tony Bennett after he sang the song.
I left my heart.
And there was another reason Mayor Feinstein was pushing for I Left My Heart in San Francisco to be the official song.
San Francisco.
Lazarus says it was because of our sisters.
We probably have had 15, 20, 30 sister city relationships built up over the last 30 or 40 years. And when mayors go and visit, there are bands at events that strike up I Left My Heart in San Francisco, because that's a worldwide song that everybody knows and everybody has the sheet music to it.
Not everyone, however, thought it best represented our city. Influential people like columnists Herb Kane and Warren Hinkle.
Warren Hinkle was a kind of a bomb-throwing, gasoline-on-the-fire, bigger-than-life, still around, but was a big columnist in the newspapers.
Hinkle said that I Left My Heart in San Francisco
was sappy and out of date, and we should really go back to the historic roots in that movie song San Francisco.
Stations picked up on the controversy, and Herb Kane reported that the winner of one city song contest was a punk band called Black Randy and the Metro Squad, and they were from Los Angeles. The debate over San Francisco's official song ended up before the Board of Supervisors. As Lazarus recalls, there was a legendary session of public comment, including performing artists, and
they did a live broadcast from the City Hall Rotunda with the dueling pianists, and then having their listening audience call in and vote for their favorite song.
The Royal Society Jazz Band and the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, all 150 members of them, sang a version of the favored San Francisco.
San Francisco, here is your wandering one.
Meanwhile, as the story goes, Tony Bennett, guest of Mayor Feinstein, in town to defend I Left My Heart in San Francisco, decided to stay in his hotel room rather than be booed by the thousands of traditionalists who were gathered at City Hall. It was an international scandal. A newspaper account in the Globe and Mail from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, reported that
when Mr. Bennett canceled his expected appearance to sing the despised alternative song, Supervisor Willie J. Kennedy rose to give an impromptu rendering. It was the only applause I Left My Heart got all evening.
Jim Lazarus wasn't surprised.
I Left My Heart in San Francisco didn't have a chance because the thing was set up to, believe it or not, have people vote for the song from 55 years earlier.
Which was a problem for Deputy Mayor Lazarus. His boss was not going to get her Tony Bennett song.
And failure wasn't an option you liked to present to Senator or Mayor Feinstein at the time.
I left my heart.
So I suggested that maybe we ought to split the baby here, and maybe the approach was two songs. We had an official song in I Left My Heart in San Francisco. Maybe we could have a song and a ballad. And Mayor Feinstein bought into that. Of course, then the debate was which song was going to be which.
It calls to me.
And so when those negotiations were done, then we designated those two songs, San Francisco as the official song, but the official ballad, which is continues to be played when mayors travel, became I Left My Heart in San Francisco, the official ballad for the city. There were bigger issues. You know, bigger fish to fry than this one, ultimately, and being able to come up with some compromise that restored a level of civility in City Hall helped on other more important issues that might come down the path.
I don't care, my love waits there.
Having a competition over what should be the official song is one of those only in San Francisco stories, one of those only in San Francisco issues that really kind of make us different than other places around the world.
Which at best probably only have one official song. Where little cable cars climb halfway to the stars, I'm Stephen Short for Cross Currents.
When I come home to you.
Tony Bennett, the man who made I Left My Heart in San Francisco famous, was honored earlier today at San Francisco City Hall. And he'll be crooning the tune tonight at the Fairmont Hotel, the very same place he first sang the song in December 1961. If you have a favorite song about San Francisco, let us know on our Facebook page. We're KALW News. This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. That's right. The words of Marvin Gaye ring so true.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Ooh, baby. We're taking the chance to sing a little more on this Valentine's Day edition of the show.
And there you
are. Mm-mm-mm. Today is a day that holds a lot of meaning for some people and very little for others. Whether or not you celebrate Valentine's Day, thinking about love is something we all do, often from the time we're very young. Youth Radio's Denise Tejada took some time out to ask the interns in her office what they think about love, and this is what she found.
Love is when you're willing to be unselfish and let yourself be open to somebody else, and they're mutually unselfish as well.
You care about them so much that you just get this warm feeling inside.
When they have chemistry, or they're physically attracted to each other, their heart is beating fast when they're next to each other, or they'll do anything for that person.
I can't tell you about something that I've never felt. I can give you what I want it to be if I ever do feel it. And I want it to be like, oh, when he comes around, I just get weak in the knees and I can't breathe. And all I want to do is make sure he's smiling. And I want to make sure my mom loves him and my granny loves him and, you know, stuff like that.
I'm 17
So I have a long way to go to discover what truly love means.
I think usually when you're younger, it's kind of hard for you to know what love is.
Technically, I feel like it's no age limit. But as you mature, you understand that you maybe have more opportunities. So maybe I think love when you're older makes a little bit more sense. But when you're young, you could just be around somebody 24/7. You might just feel it.
We're young and we're dumb. We don't know what we're doing. We're so busy trying to impress other couples that we're not really doing the real thing. We break up too much.
I think that in our generation, a lot about like what relationships are is marketing and about having somebody who looks good in profile pictures with you or prom pictures, who's in your same group of friends. I don't think you should express your love by giving somebody a bear that they carry through school to make it clear that you're a couple. I think love is something that is between two people and doesn't matter what other people think.
I think young people mostly feel that they should be in love, which is like, yeah, love is nice and love is great. Love is awesome, but I think people think that they would just be a little bit happier if they were in love, and I think you could be a little bit happier if you let yourself be a little bit happier.
Those were the voices of Sarah Quevedo, Kayla Ritchie, Ayama Harris, Rayana Godfrey, Madeline Roberts, and Evan Y.T. Childress, all participants of Youth Radio in Oakland. Thanks to Youth Radio for producing that story. You can find more from them at youthradio.org.
And you got me wanting you, honey. Oh, sugar, sugar. You are my candy.
That's the sweet sounds of the Archies. And Sugar Sugar is one of our featured transition songs in this Valentine's Day edition of Cross Currents.
I just can't believe the loveliness of loving you. This feeling too, I just can't believe it's true. Ah, sugar.
And finally, we've got a special Valentine's Day version of my mixtape, where we bring together the favorite songs of our community.
Close your eyes, give me your hand, darling.
My name is Luay Bilal. I am from Union City. My song is Eternal Flame by the Bangles. I dedicate it to my beautiful wife, Hannah Baba, who is with KLW and one of the hosts of Cross Currents. Hannah recently fought a battle with a long illness and won. My love to Hannah have always been like an eternal flame, ever present, ever candescent. Both Hannah and I are grateful for that gift. Through her illness, we were also very grateful to have received tremendous love and support from our families, from our friends, from our wonderful co-workers. We were also very grateful to have seen that our beautiful daughters, Sarah and Layla, are courageous, compassionate, resilient, and funny. So in this Valentine's Day, we really celebrate that. That love that burns like an eternal flame. Thank you.
Thank you, Luai. What a beautiful Valentine's message. And we really do share your feelings. My mixtape is a love letter to our community from our community. You can be part of it and share your song too at KALW.org. You've been listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. The team includes Hannah Baba, Julie Kane, Martina Castro, Jamie Katsoufis, Audrey Dilling, Fatima Duran, Artem Konohovs, happy birthday, man, Casey Miner, Erica Moo, Rena Palta, Seth Samuel, and Alexander Victoria. Today's show is engineered by Chris Hoff. Holly Kernan is our news director and the biggest heart in the place. Cross Currents theme music is provided by Oakland's John Santos Quintet. Also, thanks to City Car Share, which provides an alternative transportation option for our reporters. City Car Share is online at citycarshare.org, and thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio.
Life begins when you're in love.
Tune in to Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll continue our series on the 5 poorest Bay Area neighborhoods by visiting one that's also among the most polluted, West Oakland.
All my boys, you know, stay sick, you know. And my mother really got, she the one got the sickest, you know. And she fought a long time with it, you know, before she passed. But, you know, it's sad, but it's what it is when you've been here all your life.
That's coming up tomorrow at 5 on Cross Currents. The band you're hearing right now is called Buxter Hooten. Maybe you heard them last month on another KALW program, West Coast Live. The East Bay Express says their unique songwriting and tight-knit performances make Buxter Hooten an experience not to be missed. You'll have the opportunity not to miss them this Thursday night when they take the stage at the Hemlock Tavern in San Francisco starting about 9 p.m. For Cross Currents, happy Valentine's Day. I'm Ben Trefney.